Now from the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Tuesday, September 10th. Even as international developments regarding Syria indicate a possible Russian-brokered alternative to threatened military action by the U.S., latest reports say the president still plans to address the nation this evening, seeking support for a limited and strategic use of force. Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico opposes granting such congressional approval and has instead been calling for greater diplomatic efforts and international pressure from the UN. Udall spoke to New Mexico media earlier today on the matter.
I was encouraged to see Russia agree with Secretary Kerry's proposal to call on Syria to place its chemical arsenals under international control. This is a positive step after years of Russian support of the Assad regime. I will wait to see the plan before making a judgment, and I will insist that we take a strategy of trust but verify with any proposal they make. We are stronger when we gain the support of the international community. I know that New Mexicans agree that the U.S. cannot continue to be the world's police force.
Public regulation commissioners today consider making changes to the PRC's reasonable cost threshold rule, which undergirds the State Renewable Energy Act. The act requires utilities to provide 15% of their electricity from renewable energy sources by 2015 and then 20% by 2020. The current minimum is 10%. If costs to businesses are higher than the PRC threshold, utilities need not be bound to the standards. Among business interests attending today's meeting in Santa Fe is Honeywell, Intel, University of New Mexico, and the City of Albuquerque. The Santa Fe Board of County Commissioners conducts one of its regular meetings today. Among agenda items is introduction of a resolution supporting suspension of Medicaid benefits in lieu of termination for individuals upon their incarceration in county detention centers for youth and adults. Another item considers a purchase by the county manager of 21 police pursuit vehicles at a cost of some $488,000. New Mexico's Water Quality Control Commission has been holding a public hearing today to discuss guidelines recommended by the New Mexico Environment Department designed to improve ground and surface water protection measures around copper mining operations. In 2009, the state legislature amended the Water Quality Act to require the Water Quality Control Commission to adopt specific rules for the copper mining industry. The purpose is to ensure consistent regulatory compliance rather than determining requirements on a case-by-case basis. The Office of Superintendent of Insurance has approved rate increases for individually purchased Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, affecting some 26,000 New Mexicans. The rate hikes, some at 10.4%, others at 9.2%, kick in December 1st of this year and run through the end of 2014. 5 to 6 percentage points of the rate increase are due to medical cost inflation, the remainder due to new fees imposed on health insurers by the Affordable Care Act. Blue Cross must still pay at least 80 cents of every premium dollar for medical bills, or else must return excess premium payments to policyholders. Santa Fe County sheriffs have arrested the two suspects alleged to have stolen some $35,000 worth of paintings by artist Juan Machinato. Adam and Darla Dimas were located at their residence in Hernandez, New Mexico, and taken into custody without incident. It's believed the couple stole the artwork from a Pewaukee storage shed and later pawned them at a Santa Fe store. They're being held at the Santa Fe County Adult Detention Center in lieu of a $100,000 cash bond. The New Mexico Department of Health announced today a probable case of plague in an 11-year-old girl from Torrance County. Confirmatory testing is pending. This is the second human case of plague in New Mexico and the U.S. this year. An environmental investigation will take place at the girl's home to look for ongoing risks to others in the surrounding area. Last month, a human plague case was reported in a 15-year-old boy, also from Torrance County. The New Mexico Film Office has announced today a new feature film shooting here in our state. The Reach, produced by Michael Douglas, begins production mid-month in Farmington and Shiprock, shooting through late October. The film is expected to employ 160 New Mexico crew members and 60 local actors and extras. Weather for Santa Fe. Get ready for some rain and perhaps plenty of it. Meteorologist Sean Bennett with the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque says the next 72 hours may be noteworthy.
In a scientific term, this is an outlier. This is really an extreme event. If the models are correct, we will have some significant rainfall accumulations. 1 to 5 inches have been indicated. But we're going for something like around 2 inches perhaps over the next 3 days. One to three would be a good range. That will definitely cause some problems. Right now we have flash flood watches out over the Burnt Scar areas along the Sangre de Cristo and the Jemez Mountains. We will have showers, areas of showers with embedded thunderstorms, but not the kind that we see where we get like one big heavy cell over an area. What we're concerned about is rain that will come in, and we call it training echoes, where another cell will develop and it'll just keep passing over the same area. So it's the constant nature of this moisture flow over the next 72 hours that it is going to create the accumulations I described.
A 70% chance for rain today and 80% both tomorrow and Thursday. Meanwhile, current radar indicates there may be a break in the clouds headed for the Santa Fe region, but another plume of moisture can be seen ready to make its incursion a bit later this afternoon. Current Santa Fe temperature now 62 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
At noon, now segues to today's feature stories. New Mexico is rich in sources for renewable energy, such as solar, wind, and geothermal. Our state's Renewable Energy Act requires increasing the percentage of power coming from these sources. Now, the Public Regulation Commission is contemplating amendments to the Act, which would allow easing of some requirements. Camilla Seibelman is the president of the Rio Grande chapter of the Sierra Club, one of the groups opposing the decreased requirements, and joins us now for discussion. Camilla, how do you frame what the PRC is now considering?
The Public Regulation Commission is considering changing rules regarding our renewable energy law in ways that we're really concerned will undermine not only the renewable and solar industry here in New Mexico, but also our ability to comply with the law. We've spent the morning at the hearings on this, encouraging the commissioners from all across the state to reject these changes and to keep the rule that was passed in December after 18 months of discussion.
One thing the commission is considering adjusting is what is known as the reasonable cost threshold. Explain to our listeners what that is.
The renewable law sets some goals that we should have 10% renewables, currently 15% by 2015, 20% by 2020. But the law does allow the Public Regulation Commission to set what's called a reasonable cost threshold, which calculates how much of your bill can come from renewables. So if you have a $100 bill right now, $3 of it can come from renewables. The rest of it comes from fossil fuels. But the way you get to that $3 cost is controversial in that it has to be calculated. You know, so what can we include in that calculation of cost? So the big energy users across the state have gotten together to try to change the rule so that they have to spend less money on renewables. And that's what we're saying to the Utility Commission. Please do not change. Keep the December rule. That is a really nice compromise that was worked on by all the different sectors and come to agreement on only 9 months ago.
With variable parameters, does that become an arbitrary number?
Well, actually, it's a pretty careful calculation. You know, what the renewable cost threshold says, for example, is that you can count towards the money that we save on renewables fuels that we don't have to purchase and burn in a fossil fuel plant. So it basically holds quite a few different ways of calculating things so that the real value of renewables is calculated, but also the cost of renewables. So really, no matter what is done, the utilities only have to spend about 3% on renewables from their entire expenditure. And we're saying, you know, don't do anything to make that 3% less significant to the state. So the changes that the PRC is considering really have the chance to undermine solar.
Another rule is being considered for modification. Tell us about that.
The second part of what the PRC is considering, which is called the diversity rules, we didn't have hardly any solar in the state. In 2007, we had capacity for maybe 100 homes. Now, because of the diversity rules that require the utilities to look for energy from different sources, whether it be wind, whether it be solar, whether it be geothermal, we now have capacity for 70,000 homes powered by solar.
And the PRC is considering elimination of that requirement?
That's right. You know, the law itself requires that there be a diverse mix of renewable energy provided by the utilities to the consumer. And so what the current rule says as set forth by the Public Regulation Commission is X percent comes from wind, X percent from solar, X percent from rooftop solar, X percent from other, which is why we have the upcoming geothermal plant out of Lordsburg. And if you get rid of those diversity rules, the tendency of the utilities would be simply to buy the cheapest energy available, which would be wind credits from out of state. They would rather just burn coal that doesn't really internalize the cost to the state, like air pollution, days lost at school and work from asthma and those sorts of things. So diversity has been really important for stimulating our solar industry, which is the fastest growing job sector in the state, which is important to also diversifying away from fossil fuel energy. In fact, solar, different from many other renewable energies, is available exactly when we need it, when it's hot, when our demand is peaking, as they say, when it's the middle of the day on a summer day, solar is available to us, and it keeps us from having to build new natural gas plants that help attend to that peaking demand, as they call it.
The PRC hearings got underway this morning. Do you expect a final decision to be rendered soon?
We understand that the commission will make its decision in the coming weeks during their regular meetings in October, but we will keep the public alerted. But please remember that your commissioners from all around the state still want to hear from you. Call on them to protect the December rule on the renewable cost threshold and diversity. As strange as all these names sound, it's what keeps our homes and businesses running on solar and wind and geothermal and rooftop solar.
Any guesses on your part as to how this will all end up?
You know, I have to hope that the commissioners will listen to their constituents. 1,400 people from around the state commenting on a highly complex issue with acronyms galore, the RCT, the PRC, the RPS, all of these sort of dense technical terms. But what it comes down to is that the people recognize that New Mexico is the second state with the highest capacity for solar, and that we have got to take advantage of that capacity, and that without our diversity rules and without the renewable cost threshold, we won't be able to do that.
And what's the Sierra Club's advocacy stance to citizens on this issue?
Citizens from all around the state have written letters to the editor. You can do the same. You can call and email your commissioners. You can find their names and which commissioner is yours on our website, which is riograndesierraclub.org. So, that's kind of the most important way to get involved. These five commissioners, Lyons, Hall, Vicente Aguilar, Espinosa, and Montoya, represent all New Mexicans, and we really need them not just to defend the interests of the big energy users who are impulsing the change of this of these regulations, which include UNM, the city of Albuquerque, Intel, all of these sort of large energy users are combined together in the New Mexico Industrial Energy Users Coalition. And what they do is hire a lawyer to go up to the Public Regulation Commission and push for these rules to be changed to their advantage. And so we're calling on the commissioners to protect solar, to protect renewables, to protect the kids with asthma, to start to get us off fossil fuels. What this all comes down to is global warming. The droughts that we've seen with greater frequency and a higher intensity are all the results of burning fossil fuels around the globe. And, You know, New Mexico is a big energy provider for the Southwest, has the opportunity to start heading in a different direction.
Final thoughts?
I would just say call your commissioners. Look on the Sierra Club website. Find out who your commissioner is. If you're up in Santa Fe, it's Valerie Espinosa. Call her, ask her to keep the December rule to protect solar and to protect renewables and the consumer in the state.
Camilla Seibelman with the Sierra Club, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
The Amigos Bravos free monthly lecture series, Water Matters, will feature outdoor installation artist Scott Moore on the environmental restoration project Beautiful Midden along the Rio Pueblo de Taos. The lecture takes place Tuesday, September 17th, 5:30 p.m. at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Learn more at amigosbravos.org. Amigos Bravos, Because Water Matters, is a tax-exempt organization protecting and restoring New Mexico's waters for 25 years.
19 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Last week, the Environmental Improvement Board approved PNM's plan for reducing carbon emissions at the San Juan Generating Station in the Four Corners region by shutting down two of its four coal-fired units there. The plan was a less costly compromise offered by the utility company in response to a more stringent demand initially made by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. The plan still must receive EPA approval, which could take a year for its final decision. When that happens, however, the units will be retired by the end of 2017, and PNM will install nitrogen oxide-reducing technology on the remaining two units during 2016. Now, the Western Resource Advocates, a nonprofit environmental law and policy organization with offices in six states, including New Mexico, is petitioning the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission to put a program in place that rewards in-state companies like PNM for their carbon reduction efforts. KSFR News reporter Marion Cox caught up with a Western Resource Advocate spokesperson and files this report.
I'm speaking today with Steve Michael, Chief Counsel of the Energy Program for Western Resource Advocates. There have been a number of recent developments related to climate change, carbon reduction, climate disruption, whatever you want to call it, one of which was a decision last week by New Mexico's Environmental Improvement Board.
Public Service Company of New Mexico and the other owners of San Juan Generating Station retire 50% of that plant, two of the units, and install less expensive emission controls on the other two units as an alternative to installing more expensive and more effective controls on all four units. By retiring two of the plants and putting these less effective and less costly controls on the other two, the company can achieve a very similar environmental outcome as putting the more expensive controls on, but also achieve other very important environmental benefits, such as reduced carbon dioxide emissions, reduced water usage, and so on.
This is a real win for the state, is it not?
Well, I think it's a win for everybody. It's a less costly alternative, which, in our view, has a better environmental outcome.
One of the outcomes of this type of decision is that PNM's going to have to come up with energy from a different source to replace these two plants that are offline. Where is that energy going to be coming from?
Well, it hasn't been decided yet, but that, as I just mentioned, that's one of two follow-up issues that we still need to be very focused on. One is the alternatives or the replacement power, and the second is how to use these retirements and the carbon dioxide reductions associated with that to make progress with the state's obligations respecting greenhouse gas emissions, which EPA is currently dealing with. We think there needs to be a place for renewable energy as well as replacement power. The price of wind has come down dramatically to the point where there are contracts out in the market now where it's cheaper to buy wind energy than to supply the natural gas to feed a gas-fired power plant.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the San Juan Generating Station, but it's not the only game in town with respect to reducing carbon risk and carbon emissions.
So what we've done is we've submitted a proposal to the PRC for what we're calling a carbon risk reduction rule, and it would apply to utilities that are retiring coal plants like PNM. And that what it would have these companies do is reduce their emission profile, in other words, the carbon dioxide emission footprint that's associated with their serving their New Mexico customers, by 3% per year. And they would continue this through 2035, which would, by that date, cause a 60% reduction in their carbon dioxide emissions. From PNM's standpoint, if they do go ahead and retire San Juan Generating Station, they will be compliant with this program for a number of years by virtue of that retirement. But what this program does is it allows New Mexico to make sure it establishes those reductions and gets credit for those. And hopefully the EPA would be willing to accept this program as an alternative to what they come up with for power plant emission reduction. The procedure at the Commission for Rulemakings is the Commission would first have to issue it as a proposed rule, and we're hopeful the Commission will do that very soon. And that process can take anywhere from a couple of months to 18 months. What I can say, though, is the rule as filed is to take effect beginning in 2014, so we're hopeful that the Commission will be able to issue it fairly soon in order to have that first compliance period of 2014.
We've been speaking with Steve Michael, Western Resource Advocates, today about an ambitious new proposal being put before the state PRC to further reduce carbon risk in the state. Steve, we will certainly stay tuned, and we appreciate very much your taking the time to talk with KSFR today.
Thank you very much, Marion. I appreciate the time.
KSFR News reporter Marion Cox filing that report. We'll be back with more of At Noon for you in just a moment.
Do you own a car you're no longer using? KSFR is pleased to let you know you can now donate an unwanted vehicle to us, whether or not it's running, and receive a tax receipt. We'll do all the work and you'll get some extra space in the garage. To learn more about our vehicle donation program, call us at 428-1527 or visit the website ksfr.org. That's 428-1527.
26 minutes past the hour as At Noon at KSFR continues. As the population of Santa Fe increases, so does traffic. The county is attempting to ease congestion on our roads through a program known as Traffic Calming. Johnny Baca is the Santa Fe County Traffic Manager and joins us now. Johnny, we have had regulations in effect for some time to help ease traffic problems, have we not?
The speed hump policy that was in effect expired in July of 2010.
And exactly what is traffic calming?
Traffic calming is used to obviously slow traffic through our neighborhoods and through our communities. It's also used to reduce volumes, essentially creating a highly restricted route in the area, in the identified area that is of concern.
What does the new proposal include?
This document that we're currently proposing is a very comprehensive and technical document and gives us a list of items in our toolbox than just the speed hump type of application. So, yes, we have a whole bunch of different things we could do rather than just the humps. We've got what we refer to as vertical displacement, and then we've also got the less invasive that stand off to the side of the road, which is called a driver feedback sign, you know, the sign to flash your speed at you. That's one of the applications that can use. There's also the chicanes, which essentially move traffic from side to side to slow traffic.
What are other measures that can be taken to make driving life easier?
We've got what we call choke downs, which essentially narrow the road. And many of these applications are used where you have curb and gutter. So, you know, we'd have to consider that as part of our criteria. But we've got the choke downs that narrow the road. We've got the median type of placement, which is where you place some of these medians in the middle of your lanes, if the width of the road allows. We've got traffic circles, which are the smaller application rather than a roundabout, which is a much bigger in diameter. But that could also be considered a traffic calming device. But the traffic circles are something that we would consider in certain areas that would have enough right-of-way to accommodate that type of device.
And what is the process to making these ideas realities?
We you have to have two public hearings, and we've had one already before the Boulder County Commissioners. Our second public hearing will take place on the 24th of this month, September 24th. So between now and then, we are requesting public comment via the Internet. There is a link at santafecounty.org under Hot Topics that public is allowed to go in and make their comments and then send them to me via email. They can also contact me directly, 992-3010, and I'd be more than happy to take any comments. You know, any suggestions, recommendations, or even just questions we're willing to answer at this time. We just want to make sure that we get, you know, this out to the public and they understand what we are trying to accomplish and what our goal is here.
Anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
Just that Santa Fe County is committed to providing the public comprehensive traffic calming document to engage the public in the process, and that this particular policy provides the framework for constituents to come forward and request traffic calming devices in their neighborhoods. There is the process, there is criteria, but it allows for us to work closely with these constituents of these neighborhoods that are having these problems.
Johnny Baca with Santa Fe County, many thanks for joining us today.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by PNM, currently providing a recycling program for old refrigerators. PNM will pick up old refrigerators for free and then safely remove the coolant so it doesn't pollute the environment. They'll recycle as much of the refrigerator as possible. If you have a question for PNM, you can talk to them on Twitter or Facebook, or visit PNM online at pnm.com.
30 minutes past the hour here at noon on KSFR. For a number of years, a local group has been helping Hispanic women in New Mexico advance their education. Among their assistance efforts is scholarship rewards. KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard joins us now to file this report.
A local nonprofit is giving away a number of scholarships to some deserving New Mexicans. Nicole Medina Sohn is president of Mana del Norte.
Mana del Norte actually began as Mexican-American National Association when we first started out. What happened was they're actually based in Washington, and it's a national nonprofit. But a few years later, after Mana National formed, Mana del Norte, which is who we became a part of Mana National. They applied for to be a part of the national organization. What our organization does is we work to better the lives of Latinos and Latinas. Our chapter's primary focus is education for Latina women. And the typical scholarship recipient is usually a scholarship recipient who's a non-traditional college student, such as a first in the family, a displaced homemaker, a woman who has sent all of her kids to college and she's deciding that she now wants to continue to pursue her education as well. What we actually do is Mana del Norte has their board, and when they are accepting scholarship recipients, we actually have a separate scholarship committee. The recipients, they have a point system. And so with that point system, including the recipient scholarship essay, they will decide who is awarded what points, and from there, the scholarship recipients will be chosen.
Mana del Norte has been giving out scholarships for a number of years.
Every year we have a scholarship banquet, and we give out scholarships that range from about $800 to $1,000. Over the past 5 years, we've been awarding $1,000 scholarships. And this year, we're excited because we're awarding 11.
Scholarship recipients have a wide latitude on how the funds are to be spent.
There's no restrictions on the money. As long as they're enrolled in a college and they provide us with the paperwork that shows that they're enrolled at the college, they can use their funds for whatever educational purposes they need, whether it be a computer or help with books or anything that'll help them aid them in obtaining their degree.
This year's recipients have been chosen and will have their banquet in October. Nicole Medina Sohn of Mana del Norte.
Every year when we award these scholarships to our recipients, we just are so proud of these women who've overcome a lot of adversity and obstacles in their life to continue to pursue their post-secondary education, and it's something we're really proud to help our community with. You know, we have a small board and volunteers who really make Mono del Norte successful and help us in obtaining the money and the funds for these scholarships.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:34 here in the KSFR Newsroom. Here at the bottom of the hour is the ever appropriate time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I was driving southbound on I-25 and had just passed the 599 exit. On the southbound service road, I noticed an SUV traveling at least 85-90 miles per hour. I thought, there's someone in way too much of a hurry. I looked for the SUV to roar onto I-25 in my direction, but I didn't see it happen. Then, as I was pulling even with the rest stop near La Bajada, I saw the SUV devouring the southbound interstate. I got out of its way, as I noticed a highway patrol vehicle sitting in the median's crossover and pointing south. The SUV had slowed down and pulled into my lane in front of me. I backed off, leaving room for the soon-to-be-arriving state trooper. I smiled as the trooper's lights went on and he pulled over the manic SUV. And I said to myself, a la Tommy Flanagan from the old SNL, yeah, that's the ticket. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Marion Cox and Charles Maynard. And we'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow, and as always, we hope you join us.